Hello and welcome to an episode of JoJo's Bizarre Podcast.
Has
that
this
is definitely
happened
not the second time we're saying this tonight.
Uh-oh.
We just started the podcast before without hitting record, either of us. But this is a podcast that we've done 368 times or something, some insane number.
That was a good practice run.
It was a good dry
we've
run.
We've recorded yeah. it every That's time right. so far, by the way.
I am not 100%
on
that.
No, we've definitely missed.
We've screwed up once or twice, but we're yeah. usually pretty good about making sure we actually record the thing. This is a podcast about anime in general because JoJo's the anime is off the air. It has been, well, we stopped covering it back in April of 2023, and so we're talking about other anime that our listeners recommend or sponsor, or sometimes just anime we feel like watching, which is why this week we are concluding our coverage of Paranoia Agent, a show we finished because we wanted to. It was from a Patreon pledge, but we ended up liking it, and so we're talking about episodes 12 and 13 on the podcast tonight. But before we get into the Paranoia Agent vortex, let's first take a peek in our Correspondence Corner. What the Correspondence Corner is a theoretical space in our podcast brain room where you ask us questions or tell us things. You can do that by using the Correspondence Corner channel of our Discord server, which you can find a link to in the description of this podcast episode. Or you can send us an email. You can write to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. Let's start with those emails.
We were funnier the first time we did this.
We were, but we'll, you know, now we've had two tries. I think I'm going a lot smoother. I think it's...
That's true.
I know exactly what to say. This first email that we're reading for the first time is from Martin, and the subject line is Time Wasters. Hello, JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. I've been in the process of writing my bachelor's thesis and finishing my degree these past few months, so I haven't had time to listen to the podcast, writing about approximation theory and hoping to get it done by the middle of March. My question is about time wasters. Don't know if you've answered a similar question before. We kind of have. But do you guys...
No one else heard it.
No one heard it. But do you guys have any apps or activities you do just to waste time or as a side activity while doing something else? At the moment, I have a Sudoku app that gives a fun challenge, but ended up becoming a bit too easy, even on hard difficulty. My other activity...
Humble brag.
Humble brag.
Martin's really good.
I don't think I can beat any Sudoku. I don't understand it. My other activity is embroidery, which is great for lectures as I am able to listen to the lecturer while systematically creating cross stitches while following patterns. I am attaching my first project I did 2 years ago and the current one I am working on. P.S. Every time I cross my stitch, I approximate my Sudoku. P.P.S. Horny. And these embroideries are still good.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. They're really nice.
They're so
I didn't realize
beautiful.
How precise you can get, but it makes sense because if you look at one or two bit computer games, they could get really cool levels of detail despite... not having a ton of pixels or a color palette. But yeah, these are really nice looking.
I like them. I have a question before we answer this question
mm-hmm.
for Martin, who can't answer it. But Martin, I guess, doesn't take notes while listening to the lecture. And I feel like I always furiously took notes when I was listening to lectures.
I think it depended for me. Sometimes I did... Other times, I played Final Fantasy VI on the Game Boy Advance.
I think it depends on how much I need to... Like, if I'm taking notes, it's because I think that the information is important and that I'm going to need it. Like, if I take notes in a meeting, it's because I give a shit, you know? And I'm like, if that's what I'm doing, then I'm the entire meeting I'm taking notes, pretty much, you know? Unless I'm, like, actively talking in it. For most, like if I'm leading the meeting, then I'm not taking notes usually. But I don't know what I'm saying.
when you take notes.
Yeah. But if I don't think that the content is important or I'm going to need it later or I'm just like, yay, whatever, I get it. Then yeah, I'll play a game on my phone or whatever. Something. Twitter used to be my big time waster, but now I don't do that anymore. So now it's Reddit, actually.
Ooh, me too, Jackie.
If I'm going to be honest, it's Reddit.
I hate Reddit.
I'm on Reddit right now.
It's Reddit, and then if I have like a moment Like, if I have more time, then yeah, now it's Balatro, which we've been playing a lot
of. Yeah, Balatro has eaten my brain and Jackie's brain. It is a roguelike deck building game, kind of based on video poker, but like on steroids. It's like, imagine if Slay the Spire was in video poker or something. It's very cool, very addictive. A lot of math, but yeah. not difficult math, and you don't need to be quick at it. You can...
No, yeah, you can stop and think. But yeah, it's like, it's hard for me because I want to be like every moment that I have, I'm like, oh, I want to get a quick game in. But like anytime I open it, I have to like remember what I'm doing because it's deck building and it's a roguelike. So when I open it up again, I'm like, okay, what is my deck right now? Like, what's my strategy?
And then I have
to do math to figure out what a good hand is. Like is my thing optimized? So like my, you know, pairs are better than my flushes. Like, I don't know. I have to like look at a bunch of stuff again and then do some math to figure out.
Yeah. And I have to remember that I need to add multipliers before multiplying the multipliers. They should just have PEMDAS on the screen, although it's not that complicated.
No.
But you end up caring about that shit. Yeah. For me, it's that. Sometimes I do that on work meetings if it's really not that crucial for my knowledge. I'll be playing Balatro or Peglin. Peglin is a game I've played way too much of on Steam. Yeah.
New York Times Crosswords is a good one.
Oh, yeah. On the bus now, I've been doing Spelling Bee on the crossword.
You like that one.
It's like seven letters. And I used to only care about getting the one where you use every letter.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I'm so, like, aggressively bored or annoyed sometimes on the bus.
It's a long ride.
That I just do all of the words. So
I don't
think
I've ever gotten that.
A few times these past few weeks, I got it all. And one I couldn't believe I got the pangram on just by like aggressively trying was, have you guys heard this word plaudit?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It's like words of praise. Give him his plaudits.
I've never heard that, but I somehow figured it out.
I've never heard it either.
Yeah. It's kind of fun,
well,
but it can be exhausting.
Read a book, you guys.
All right.
That's the problem.
That's because you're reading books about praising people. You're reading books about office life.
That's true.
Like, I need new words for kudos. Anyway. Thanks,
Do
Martin.
You
Keep
know
up
my
the great
time
work.
Waster?
What's your time waster? Sorry.
Okay. My time waster is all of those New York Times. Well, mostly Wordle and Connections.
Yeah, those are the best.
Connections.
Well, those are the best ones. I like Sudoku a lot too, but. I feel like I need like a stretch of time in order to do it.
I realize when I use these time wasters, and it's when I'm waiting for my son to pee or poo. When I just want to like kill time, but I can't like actually just play video games or whatever. The game I play is called Basketball GM, and it's basically just a spreadsheet basketball game, but you can like simulate entire seasons in a couple of minutes, so I'll just hit sim until like the trade deadline or the off season, do a little work, and then come back to it when it's done simming. And then,
is this played on a website or you downloaded a spreadsheet?
It is a web game. I actually interviewed the creator like 10 or 12 years ago for a defunct basketball website called Hardwood Paroxysm.
That's a
terrible
website name.
But it's still around
and
really good.
Oh, okay. Interesting. If you like Connections, by the way, do you know about Only Connect, the British game show? Have we talked about this? There's a game show called Only Connect in the UK. The last segment is called The Connecting Wall, and that is basically reappropriated into the New York Times game, Connections. And the first time I saw the show, my friend showed it to me, and I was like, these people's brains are like on level 900. I don't know how the fuck they figured this out. But he got me by showing me one that was like a pattern based on Mario characters' hats or something.
Oh.
And then I was like, I understand this. And then if you want to watch the show, it is hard because a lot of the cultural references are British. And so you're like, yes, Jonathan of Leicestershire. And you're like, I don't fucking care about this whole 10-minute stretch of time. But you can find Only Connect episodes on YouTube. I think one channel is called Meals on Wheels or something. But yeah, just look up Only Connect and check it out. The first episode, you might be like, I'm dumb. But eventually you figure out how it works. And the last segment is like connections, but the rules are a bit different. And I wish we had more brainy shows. We only have Jeopardy.
I've been loving Jeopardy lately. Did you see Ike Barinholtz is in the Tournament of Champions?
No, I didn't know that. I've only been able to watch Jeopardy on Celebrity Jeopardy when it's back on Hulu.
He's the first Celebrity Jeopardy winner to be allowed in the Tournament of Champions, and he actually won today. Spoiler alert.
Wow. When this comes out. Look at that. He's successful in showbiz, and he's smarter than you.
Who is?
Ike Barinholtz?
I don't know who that is.
He's in the Mindy Project.
He's in the Mindy Project. Okay. Yes. Which one?
I don't know. He's a comedian. I think he has like sandy colored hair.
It's dark.
Is it dark? I don't fucking know.
He's not that famous, and I am curious about whether he's like keeping the money.
He's allowed to.
But when you do Celebrity Jeopardy, you give it to charity.
Yeah, but Celebrity Jeopardy's questions are like, what sound does a doggy make?
Yeah. I was glad he was able to make the step up, but I would have been embarrassed to lose to Ike Barinholtz.
Apparently, Andy from Conan, I can't remember Andy's last name.
Richter?
Right now. Richter.
Richter.
He apparently crushed in Celebrity Jeopardy back in the day.
They should have let him in on the regular show.
Yeah.
Are we a podcast about anime?
Yeah, technically. All right, let's move on. Miles, can you read this email?
This email is from Josh, who wrote to us last week, and we asked him to follow up. The subject line of this email is, "What that mouth do? The answer may shock you." So I think we asked Josh to calculate. I'll just read the email.
Well, Josh did this and then hinted at doing this and said, if you want to know, let me know. And we said, yes, we want to know.
Yeah, if he did it anyway. Anyway, after extensive and probably unnecessary calculations due to how long it's been since I've done a similar problem, I've come to a conclusion. Sekko is a freak. If you don't want to go through the messy physics that I'll attach anyway, here's a gist of what I figured out. To produce spikes that could puncture Bucciarati, Sekko would have had to spit mud at a speed of 61 meters per second or 136 miles per hour, which is faster than the fastest human has thrown a baseball at 105. If the angle and distance I estimated from watching the episode are correct, the mud would have reached a speed of 184 meters, almost four times the height of the a height of 184 meters, almost four times the height of the Colosseum, unless the BDSM stand suit Sekko wears improves mouth power. This feat is not humanly possible. That's all I got. Disclaimer, I made a lot of assumptions and I'm not a professional, so I do not take responsibility for misinformation that may come from this. Sorry this feels super long. P.S. I spent more of my life than I should have on this, but it was still fun to do, and if there are future questions about if and to what extent something is or is not physically possible, I'm happy to try to answer. And Joshua has attached graph paper, which I love, of all of his calculations.
Show your work.
That I honestly don't understand because it's been a long time since I had to. But the conclusion is, either way, best BDSM boy is a freak with a mouth that is about 100 times stronger than a normal person. And Joshua concludes that this is not physically possible.
Well, I do like the drawing of the giant arc that Sekko spits in. I agree that this is not physically possible. I agree. But you did not list the average or even recorded limit of human spit power. That's the thing that is missing here. And they have done contests to see who could spit the furthest. Now, do they do it with mud spikes? I don't know. Can anybody spit harder than I can throw? Probably not. But we don't know.
What is his power? His BDSM stance who makes him, what, swim around in the air?
Is he the one who can, he can like swim through solid objects, or is it the other guy has Oasis, which makes things liquidy, and then he swims in it? Sekko, JoJo Wiki, tertiary antagonist. Ooh, don't sell him so short. Oasis. Right, okay. It just gives him physical strength beyond human limits. And the ability to liquefy objects that he touches. So he just has really good strength, and that must include mouth strength.
Makes sense.
Okay, so that's what that mouth do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joshua, what's your background? Why can you do this?
I think he's studying physics.
This graph paper has a lot of Greek letters in the middle of its math, so I assume whatever he says is true.
Yeah, he's assumed to be graduated astronomy and physics major.
And oh, right.
Martin is talking about Martin's bachelor's thesis, too. All of our listeners are so smart.
They're smart.
What the hell is a bachelor's thesis? I don't know. Did I have to do a thesis when I was a bachelor?
I barely had to do anything in college.
No.
Almost
nothing. It took me two tries.
I majored in journalism. I barely did anything.
You probably wrote a lot.
I did write a lot.
Oh, yeah. Approximation theory is also mathematics.
Okay, so our listeners are smarter than us, I think. They studied, yeah. We all have a Bachelor of Arts, because we're...
yeah, mine's liberal arts.
We're just like, math and sciences,
but you work,
but
you work in a scientific field, kind of, don't you?
I do work in STEM.
Your title
Can
is engineer.
I defend liberal arts majors, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well... they make you read all this stuff so that you can have a nice, well-rounded brain so you can say interesting things about art.
Yeah, it's true.
But you don't get to make any money.
Right, that's the trade-off.
Yeah.
If you want to make money, do something...
you have to work in a factory, I think.
Yeah.
Like a mine, maybe.
A math something factory.
Like yes.
I should also, this is not a corrections because I don't know, I don't care. But apparently the thing with Turn A Gundam, which the Turned A is something I should have emailed one of these guys about to be like, hey, what the fuck is this? I feel like these guys already are writing crazy ass symbols on their math paper.
Mm.
But Turn A Gundam, yes, it has like a correct century or whatever, but apparently the show says that all the other Gundam shows that came before it are canonical.
That's what I thought it was.
So that's why it's like the universal quantification is it's like saying this anime can apply to all Gundams because they sort of, by going far in the future.
It was meant to unify all of the, to make it so that they were all true.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's not quite what the universal quantification symbol means.
Okay, I don't know what
the universal quantification is saying, like the following is true for everything in this set. So to me, it makes more sense to say, like, this anime is true for all past Gundams. Because I don't think anybody fucking continued in his universe. They were just like, yeah, whatever, we've got UC and the other ones. Yeah, I do like that by going far in the future, he can then just vaguely refer to events from previous Gundams without having to, if there's any, like, overlap or, like, direct contradictions, you can just sort of... you don't have to talk in those specific ways. Also, I fucked up and I misheard Miles, and I told Miles that the original series was not directed by Tomino, but in the edit, I realized what happened. And Tomino did the first two Gundams, and he did Turn A Gundam.
Did you take that out to make yourself not look dumb?
No.
Oh, interesting.
Because you said, like, what about the OG Gundam? And I only heard you say G Gundam. And I was like, that's not by him, idiot.
Gotcha.
All right, we're still recording. Again, those were emails sent to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. Turning now to the Discord, we have a message from Hentai Homie. Jackie, can you read it? Do you have the Discord on your phone? I don't know if you do.
I do. I just don't look at it that much.
Okay, you don't have to.
Hold on. Where is
Whoa.
It? Where is it? I don't see it.
It's in the JoJo's Bizarre Podcast server, and it's in Correspondence Corner, which is under Podcast.
Podcast.
I would assume you have visibility.
Oh, I see it. I see it. Okay. This is a message from Hentai Homie. He says, howdy, JJBP. It's been a while. I haven't listened in a while, but now I have so much content to listen to. Can't wait to hear all the fun things you've done as parents and if they've said their first words yet. I hope all has been well. P.S. Every time I write an email, it makes me so horny.
Well, Yay. Thank God you're not writing an email.
Yeah. Miles, has your child said his first word yet?
Yeah, he basically never stops talking.
Yeah.
It's great.
Child is much. Your child said their first word like 3 years ago or something, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Something like that.
It's been a while.
And it never ends.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Jackie and my daughter's first words, was it mama?
Well, okay, it depends on what you count as a word, because I think it took her a while to actually properly say mama with meaning. I think it was either quack, the duck sound.
Yeah.
Or ma for more. Ma is mas, which is more in Spanish. So, and she wants more of something, she'd go ma.
Ma. Ma. Ma. And she finally, like, after I watched her, I was like feeding her most of her meals for like 3 months, and I was constantly doing the baby sign language for more. And I would also do it for change, like every day.
So we're also teaching her like baby sign language because it's easier for them to communicate with their hands and stuff. So
yeah, and I would do this for like months and months and months. And then only recently has she started to do it. But I'm like, now you have words, kind of.
Yeah.
You don't really need to do this.
She has a lot of words.
And she cheats. She keeps telling me she needs a diaper change and then her diaper is clean because I think she thinks it means go upstairs.
She just wants,
to go to my computer.
She knows what it means. She just wants to go upstairs and then be like, hey, let's go to your computer.
let's look at your computer screens and your light up keyboard.
There's been times where she does that to me where she's like, you know, does the sign for a diaper change and then we'll go upstairs and then she starts crying when we go to her room. Like, I'm like, oh, we're going to change your diaper. And she starts crying and I'm like, oh, you just wanted to see Dada, and that's all she wanted. She just wanted to pass by your room and say hi.
It's very charming to hear your daughter say Dada from downstairs, except when you first wake up and you really just need coffee, and you start to wonder if you should keep coffee upstairs.
Like, how do we?
Morning, I'm like, hey, how you doing? I gotta get past you, okay? I gotta get something in my system. So those are some of the first words that we've been hearing.
So Miles, your kid talks a lot. He seemed like he was I don't know. He seemed like pretty quiet when we met him.
Probably because of you guys.
Yeah, okay.
Us specifically.
Yeah. But it's and he talks a lot more now. And
I feel like he said one or two things that I didn't understand, but you guys did because he told me about some trains.
Mm-hmm. He's always
and you knew what
about
he said.
Trains. Now he's always screaming. He's always yelling everything that he's relating to you. He's like, "There's a train over here, and it's going around and around." It's like, okay.
Do you tell him like you don't have to yell?
Yeah, but I don't think that helps.
Because
He knows he doesn't have to yell. He wants to yell, and he knows that we don't like it, and I think that makes him like it even more.
So you have to not react.
Yeah, I feel like my parents, at least my dad, probably just yelled at me. And in some ways, that's bad. In other ways, yeah. I'm like, should we yell at our kids, maybe?
I've had this question mark.
You've had this question in your head, you mean?
Yeah, I'm like, why can't I just... I mean, I turned out fine and I was screamed at a lot.
Well, especially like imagining some of the worst case of it while driving, I might have to be like, I'm driving. I need everybody to be a certain level of quiet. And this may not be.
Coming.
I may not be able to communicate the importance without a certain volume level. But you got to resist. Even if for some reason your daughter wants to get driven everywhere while she goes, in the back seat.
That was my ride this morning to school. Yes, he was yelling that he wanted me to stop, and I said, nope. We have to go to school every day for the rest of your life.
Aww.
Not for the rest of your life.
At some point he graduates.
And as soon as he got there, he was totally fine, and I said,
I told you.
You're not my friend anymore. I thought mean
That's
things
funny.
About him.
That's you just got to think them. You got to think them and that's it. You can't even turn it into a rap album like Eminem, you know?
That's right.
You got to just keep them inside and just let
he
them build
rap
up.
Mean things about his daughter, about his mom.
Yeah, but that's what he did with mean thoughts. He's like, instead of doing those bad things, I just say them in the mic and then I don't do them.
I see.
That was his rationale for that.
Enough of this parenting podcast.
Yeah, enough. Who would listen to a parenting podcast?
No one.
Folks, we have a Patreon. If you want to support our little show, you can go to patreon.com/JJBpod. We have a few different subscription tiers. I have to turn off Discord alerts.
I can't believe we haven't done this yet.
Yeah. Well, it only feels really long. We have a few different subscription tiers. You can get access to the Patreon feed by hopping on any of them. We don't put a ton up there, but if I find that we went off topic for too long, sometimes I put that extra audio on the Patreon feed. If you pledge the $3 a month level, we will thank you out loud on the podcast, and we will really, really mean it. We also have a tier where if you pledge $15 for just 1 month, you can turn it on, then right back off. We will watch 3 episodes of an anime series of your choosing, or an anime movie if we haven't seen it. I guess there's some movies I would rewatch, but, you know, if you ask, I'll tell you if we've seen it. Yeah, that's patreon.com/JJBpod. Let's say thank you to some fine people.
So thank you, Gen X Anime Dad.
Colin.
Clit Rocket.
Hentai Homie.
I love JoJo Uwu.
Daniel.
Dalton.
Soliloquy.
Kasoon.
Lord Zendar.
Jumbo.
Katie.
Bloof.
Aura.
Kenny.
Mirror Man.
The Stand User, formerly known as Austin.
Tim.
Martin.
Aquosus.
Christian.
And
Chad. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. So this is about the finale of Paranoia Agent, specifically episodes 12 and 13. One or two new things I discovered about this show overall. The literal translation of this show is really Delusion Agent, which I think makes more sense.
It does make more sense.
Apparently, Satoshi Kon, he wrote a bunch of stuff. A lot of the translation isn't very good, but I'm pretty confident in saying that he basically explained that, like, as a freelancer, he's like a freelance director for the studio Madhouse. And whenever he leaves and, like, takes a break, he thinks breaks are important. But that means the people that worked for him that he likes and wants to keep available, they don't have a job and they go elsewhere. They go to different studios. Mm. So even though he probably needed a break after Tokyo Godfathers, he was like, let's do this TV show idea that I have, because then he would keep everybody from the staff, like, working for him and stuff. But apparently it was very grueling, and that kind of explained episode 10. That it was inspired by some real life devotion to getting the show done.
This makes sense that it's right after Tokyo Godfathers, because I feel like, I don't know, it feels like it's a similar world. I think we talked about some of the overlaps, like homelessness, like the nurse looks the same as the Tokyo Godfathers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some stuff that it feels ever present with Satoshi Kon. Like, when like a woman is sort of like leering downward and like you can't see her eyes, and it's just like a woman in a mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. Like, that's very Satoshi Kon. And yeah, there was some blog he was writing about where he was talking about how you should do something new, but then he's like, okay, and the killer isn't real, but it's killing people anyway, and it's like, that's perfect blue to a degree. Or like whenever he tried to describe this show, he's like, wait, that also describes Tokyo Godfathers. And so he's like, here's why this is different, but yeah, I know it's similar to other stuff that I've done. But there are some people who prefer this to his movies.
I mean
people that were devoted enough to write blogs about it and stuff. And I found an interesting one with something that I had not noticed, but we'll see if you guys did.
Whatever it is, I did notice.
Oh. Okay. So episode 12, my first note here is that the news alert music is the melody of the show's theme song.
Oh, okay. Is that the thing that you noticed or that the blog noticed?
No, that's later.
Okay.
Jackie, what happened in the show?
So we watched episode 12 and 13. Episode 12, they're talking about how rumors help him grow and imagination nurtures
helps
him.
Helps baseball bat boy, Shonen Bat.
Right, Shonen Bat. And the imaginations nurture him, and his face is scary now, and he's like really big.
Yeah, his face got fucked up.
The young detective is like wearing a cape now, and he's like a little delusional, and he's fighting him in his little delusional world.
Detective
as well.
Maniwa.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote down, I guess that's the point of like all the rumors and stuff, because we saw a lot of just episodes that were just about rumors that people told and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, I guess that's like, that was all just like fueling him and building him up.
This is true for Freddy Krueger, by the way, from the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
What?
That people talking about him and being afraid of him gives him power.
Ah.
In fact, in the movie Jason X, Freddy uses Jason because everyone thinks Freddy's a joke now, but Jason is still scary. So he like resurrects him and causes him to kill people, but makes it seem like it's Freddy. So people are scared of Freddy again, and then he can come back. But then they fight.
Mm. Okay.
And then
what happens in Jason X?
They go to space.
Okay.
It's stupid.
I wrote down the dog and Shonen Bat are the same.
Yeah, because someone says that.
I think the wife does.
Yes, she says you're just like that stupid dog. Yeah.
Yeah, the older detective's wife. Let's see.
Mrs. Ikari, I forget her first name. Toyomi, maybe?
The young detective, meanwhile, is going on his own little mission. He sees a tiny little a bunny lady, and he follows her around, and he gets to a place where they have, this guy is making little figures.
Oh, because someone told him to follow a bunny.
Yeah.
To dance with the bunny.
To dance with the bunny. Yeah, Maniwa has like, he's in his own delusion of being a superhero.
He's talking to these cute little anime figures.
Yeah, they all have hard nips.
Okay. And like there's a guy who's like painting figures, and the figures that he's painting now, I thought that they would be all just like anime babes, but they are
they're characters from the show.
Characters from the show. I thought it was like victims in the show.
It is. But the first one I noticed he was painting was the shithead who worked at the anime studio that fucked everything up, the production coordinator or whatever.
Yeah. Let's see. The dolls want to help, though. These little hentai dolls. They want to help, and they're connecting him to a computer. I don't really remember where that goes. I don't really remember what they give him, but...
I know.
Oh, right. They help. Right. They do the like detective research for him, and they help him find out that a 10-year-old girl was hit with a bat however many years ago, like 20 years ago or whatever, and the culprit was never found, and it turns out that it was the artist who makes Maromi, the I forget her name, the first Shonen Bat victim, who
Tsukiko,
who like made the whole thing up that time. And so he goes and he talks to her dad to get to the bottom of the original story where she was hit by a bat when she was 10.
I can't believe he's able to convince her dad to open up and talk about it honestly while he's dressed like that. I guess being a detective goes a long way, but he's wearing this weird hat and he has a cape and goggles. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess
if a lot of the other weird shit that's happening is going on, maybe he'd be more likely to talk, but anyway.
We go to Tsukiko. She's in a car with a guy who's her assistant, and he kind of starts yelling at her and attacking her. And
yeah, he's because they were at a meeting where the people that, like, I don't know, promoted Maromi, her past creation and stuff, that this like agency person was like grilling them for the next design, and she didn't really say shit. And so he's like really mad at her, and he kind of just chokes her and is just like more aggressively like, why the fuck don't you have a new idea yet? Like, don't you think it's hard for me too? And blah, blah, blah.
And she like kicks him out of the car, and then he's like, oh, you know, I'm under a lot of pressure too. Anyway, I'm sure you'll have that new character soon. Like he suddenly is like, oh, whew, what got a hold of me?
Well, she kicks herself out of the car, I think.
Oh, I thought she kicked him out because he was outside. No, he was in the car. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, but it's Japanese seat layout. So he was on the right side of the car. Maybe that's what your brain
that's
did.
That's confusing me. Yeah. Because in late, because like immediately the very next scene, he's dead. Shonen Bat kills him while he's driving the car away.
Yeah. Which I guess maybe he knows how badly he just fucked up there. And then now he's feeling pressured. That's why Shonen Bat, or maybe Shonen Bat just kills everybody now.
Or maybe now Shonen Bat was helping her. Cause this guy attacked her and Shonen Bat's like, fuck you, sir.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Maromi is like there to protect her too, kind of like in like a, like shielding her from the truth kind of way. Like it's just this little dog that she talks to that like agrees with her and tells her that she's good and everything is fine and it's not her fault, you know?
Yeah, but he's helping her while deluding her. I guess we don't know that yet.
While deluding her. But that's, I think that's her own brain like protecting herself.
Yeah.
From the truth.
Right.
So Maromi was her real childhood dog, we find out. And her dad shows our young detective friend, he shows him the original bat. And it like sounds like this was a fake situation too, but they don't really tell us the details yet. And when the guy, the young detective picks up the bat, he sees it as a sword because he's a little.
Well, we know that he was the one too. Who he bought into the imposter Shonen Bat guy's story about RPGing. Like he was into it.
Yeah.
So that's like a natural inclination that he has, or it's his way of sort of gaining strength is to think in that sword and sorcery sort of way.
Well, you know, if you're fighting a like
fictional thing.
Yeah, just a manifestation of someone's thoughts or everybody's collective thoughts, you know? Like everybody believes in, like a bunch of people believe in something and so it makes it stronger. Like you gotta kind of have your own make believe strength too, I guess. But then you're the only one who's believing in yourself in that way.
So all you gotta do is pretend to believe.
Yeah. Maromi the dog tells her she's not to blame. Tells Tsukiko she's not to blame. The detective calls her and he's like, I've solved the mystery. I talked to your dad. He has a message for you. And the dog cuts Maromi cuts the phone wire, like the cord. And I don't know. She's being chased by Shonen Bat.
I get the feeling, by the way, that in one of the interviews in like episode 4 or 5 or something, remember when Tsukiko's being interrogated and they're like, hey, we heard there wasn't an of like, because they thought they were trusting the imposter and they were like, hey, no one hit you when you said you were hit. And then she falls out of her chair. Do you remember that? She passes out.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if really that was like on her end, she pictured like Maromi like pushing her, you know, or like kicking her in the head or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
She doesn't want to confront the truth. Sorry, continue.
So Shonen Bat fights the young cop, and they have a battle. And
yeah, it's a pretty big scale battle.
And Maromi lures away Tsukiko to somewhere, and the guys fight. Well, the guy and the imaginary friend fight. Let's see. All of the Maromi disappear in the whole world, in the whole city. They're all gone. All the
Right, there were all these big merchandise balloons and advertisements and stuff, yeah, and then they're just gone.
All the toys, all the ads, it's all, there's just no more Maromi dog. And people were like, what is this? Is it a prank?
At one point, Maniwa is like, I think he's chasing Shonen Bat, and at one point he jumps onto a truck that says Bat Express. And I don't know if that's a pun on bats like Shonen Bat or if it's because he's like a hero, like he looks like Batman riding with a cape.
I think it's a baseball bat pun.
Okay, well, he rides a Bat Express truck.
That's cool. The wife of the older cop is in the hospital, And episode 13 is the next episode. Tsukiko and the older cop are together. They kind of end up in the same place. And Maromi says he'll protect Tsukiko. And they're in a weird world where there's a big black ooze that's washing over people.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. And that just seems to be like Shonen Bat has turned into ooze.
He's become a blob.
He's just a force.
The young cop talks into his walkie-talkie and he's like, Tsukiko, where are you? Meanwhile, Tsukiko and the older cop are in, like, the art is weird. Like, it looks like, I've said this before, when this art style shows up, it looks like an old, like, Japanese scroll paper. Like,
yeah, I don't know exactly what that art style is. It's very cool. And I loved that they were flat. When they would turn, they would go flat like paper.
It's like Paper Mario.
Yeah. Paper Paranoia. Huh?
Huh?
The young detective is trying to reach the chief on the walkie. He's like, hey, chief. And he seems like he's in denial. I don't know. Like, he's kind of in a fantasy too now, the older cop.
Both of the cops are, but one is like using it to fight and one is using it to run.
Yeah. Yeah. And so his wife is being operated on in the hospital. And then he starts seeing his wife in this world and she's like near death, but I guess she was able to reach him in this imaginary plane, this fictional world.
I think that's one thing he's escaping, by the way, is his relationship with his wife. Like, I think he doesn't go home a lot and stuff.
And the fact that she's sick.
Yeah, but also that they can't be a family the way they both want to, I think, that they can't have children and stuff. I think he avoids her.
I think it's like she feels guilty about it. Like, she blames herself for that. And maybe he doesn't want to see that in her either.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But she's dying. Tsukiko turns into a kid, like a back to her 10-year-old self, and her real dog is there in this imaginary world. It's basically very like dreamy, very like kind of a nightmare. Her 10-year-old self calls the older cop, she calls him dad.
That was confusing for me. I was like, wait, are they related? No. But yeah, they can't have children.
The twist. He has flashbacks to what looks like his wife miscarrying and being unable to have children, and him telling her like that he just wants to be with her, like it doesn't matter. But it did kind of seem like he does care, but like she's more important, you know, like he wants to be with her. So
But then he avoids her. Idiot.
Yeah. So she's telling him that she's going to die and that she wanted to say goodbye, and she dies in real life. And she disappears in the fantasy world, and that kind of wakes him up. And he's like, who are you calling dad? And he's like, this world is fake. It's a lie. And he starts smashing things. And
yeah, this was really fun. It's using like digital effects to shatter the backgrounds and stuff, but it looked cool and it was satisfying. And he gets, does he hit the little Marami keychain with a bat?
Yes.
The people start turning into Maromi. Like, he kills people. Like, kills them, but he like smashes and like people and they turn into Maromi.
Well, because this whole world is a Maromi construct.
Yeah.
To trap Tsukiko in her past.
I think he also created it for himself. Because he went there after he was talking with the guy, the other construction worker, security guy that used to be a criminal. And it was funny because he, like, when he gets the keychain from Marami, he's like, I don't know why, but it just kind of makes me happy. And it just sounds like someone's starting a drug addiction.
Yeah. But then he's deluding himself the same way she is. You know, like they're both being escapist. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their worlds kind of merge, but yeah, his is the flat people and hers is the memory of being a child.
So they're back into the real world. The young cop is like, to Maromi, he's like, Tsukiko let you die. You were attacked while, and then he talks to her. He's telling her, like, he tells her basically what about herself. He's like, you were attacked while walking your dog. And then you said that you got hit by a boy wearing skates and he had a bat and he hit you and that made you drop the leash. But that boy never existed, did he? You let go of the leash and the dog got hit by a car. You made up the lie because you couldn't tell your dad the truth. And at first she denies it, but then he's like, your dad knew. Your dad knew. He went along with it, you know, but he knew. He wishes that you would tell him the truth.
Because, yeah, her dad went along with it because he worried that she lied out of fear of his harsh parenting.
Mm.
So he felt bad and was like, yeah, so I just believed her so she wouldn't feel bad. And I was like, maybe I'm too harsh. It's nice. It's a show about how everyone does this stuff, but sometimes they realize how they might be affecting one another.
That's the moral of the story, I guess. So he's like, feel the power of the sword that knows the truth. Hmm. And a giant Maromi turns into ooze. And she drops her Maromi doll and it turns into a little red, a real little doggy. And she chases after it and it gets hit by the sludge, or she gets hit by the sludge. Something gets hit by the sludge.
Have they showed the flashback yet?
Then we hit right now is when we have a flashback to what happened. She bent down in what looked like pain. It looked like she was in pain.
Do
and
you
she
know?
Kind of bent down and then she let go of the leash and then a dog got hit by a car real fast. Like that car was like, please hit me.
You mean the dog was like that? Or?
The dog was like, I want to get hit with a car. I don't want to live anymore.
The car was like, please feed me a dog. So do you know what that crouch down that she did
might have been? I thought maybe she had some kind of condition.
So the blog I was reading said it might have been menstrual cramps.
That was my guess.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I would have animated that differently.
Okay. Well, this is from...
Could have been.
Yeah, and they were saying that this blog, I'm going to look up the name, that they were saying that's why she couldn't tell her dad about it.
Oh, okay.
That it's like too embarrassing. Yeah, this is from Gen X Otaku 1971, the OG blog. Huh. It's called Finished My Rewatch of Satoshi Kon's Paranoia Agent.
But you can still hold on to a leash. You could still hold on to a leash while like bending over in pain. Like you could still hold on to
a leash. She might be like 10 or 11.
Yeah, I guess she was just like, ah! And then like she didn't realize she dropped the leash. Okay.
Yeah, and Marami tells her it's not her fault.
Yeah, right. Like it's not like she dropped the leash on purpose. It's still not her fault, you know? Yeah, so I wrote down, she looks down, it looks like she bent down in what looks like pain. She let go of the leash. The dog dies. Car just smashes into the dog. Dad went through so much trouble to get him for you. Yeah, for the Maromis, they're talking to her saying that dad went through so much trouble to get that little doggy for you. And she's like, and basically it's like her telling herself, like, it's his fault. It's, you know, Shonen Bat's fault. Somebody came out of nowhere and attacked me.
And dad goes along with that story. That's why he gets the bat.
Yeah. And so her adult self is holding her dead dog and saying, I'm sorry. And I like that she's saying, I'm sorry. And so it's like, that's her finally accepting responsibility. And that makes Maromi go away.
Yeah. But also the dad seemed to know, I think they said that he knew the truth, but he was just like playing along with her.
Yeah.
You know, to not make her feel guilty.
Yeah.
That's why you can't just yes and your kids all the time.
Mm. You have to make them accept responsibility and face the truth.
Yeah, or else they unleash a psychic killing force on the city.
They make a tulpa of a terrifying youth on skates.
Mm-hmm. And then somebody makes an anime about it, and then everyone talks about it on podcasts and blogs and whatnot.
Yeah, but these are all good things, right?
Until Shonen Bat starts killing people in our dimension.
That'll never happen.
Okay. Hey, is that a roller skate behind? Bonk.
That might be a fun cosplay to be Shonen Bat. Feels like a fun cosplay.
It does, but I can't skate.
You a good blader?
I could roll a blade.
I could roll a blade. It's been a long time.
Since I was like single digits years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me neither. Yeah, I feel like I could wear roller skates and go down like street. But if I were like, oh, I'm at a con and I'm just gonna casually like start and stop on skates, nah, that ain't happening.
Oh, I would rollerblade.
No.
At a con.
And within
fun.
Like 10 minutes, you'd be like, my feet hurt. This sucks. My ankles
no,
hurt.
They're fun.
I don't know.
I couldn't do stairs, you know?
Yeah, you got to grind the rail.
I can't do
those,
that.
Those places are all like handicap accessible.
There's usually escalators. That's true. There's usually escalators everywhere. It's like it's usually big convention calls. Halls, that's true. Okay.
Hey, do you guys, this just popped into my head, Andy Cap accessible. And it's just like that guy from the British comics can get places.
What are you talking about?
Pretty good.
Andy Cap is a British comic strip.
Do you think Andy Cap is more famous for the snack that he has?
What are they? Some kind of Cheetos?
They're like a little bit spicy, like Cheetos, but like skinnier.
That's why I know this name. Yeah, Andy Cap's Hot Fries.
Yeah, I think we had a book of those comic strips at home, but I think
that's weird.
Most people know Andy Cap for that little snack. Anyway, dumb joke, Mark.
Shout out to Andy Cap.
Anyway, she says sorry. She's feeling guilty. She felt guilty all this time, you know, but was kind of like pushing those feelings aside. And she had to make it someone else's fault. But now she says sorry to her dog, and that's also what the cartoon is based on. So that's like another, like the cartoon was probably a way of her dealing with that situation as well.
Yeah, and I read, I think it was from one of the rewatch Reddits, was that that's why she can't really redesign another character, is like this is based on like a bad event from her past and stuff, and it was really important for her to turn it into like this happy thingy.
Yeah.
And she can't really do it again either. It's like she doesn't want to just keep digging up fucked up shit from her past if it does exist. But either way, like this was the one like pet in her life that, you know, mattered, and she wanted to make into a positive thing.
Mm. And he lives on as a cartoon. So she says, then Shonen says sayonara and disappears. And the city is destroyed.
Yeah, it was not all a dream.
But 2 years later, they rebuild Tokyo and it's fine. And now there's a new character. It's a cat cartoon. It's a little cat.
But are those people dead? You know? Are the dead people dead?
I think they're dead, yeah.
Okay.
This is why you don't avoid things. Not because of your own benefit, but because you might make a tulpa that kills people. Don't do it. Yeah.
This but to be fair, this is like a bottom two or three outcome.
I guess. What is the rest of it?
Like what's worse?
Wait, no, this is bottom two or three. So like what are the good? Wait, what are you talking about?
What are the good outcomes? Like this is one of the worst outcomes you can have, is what I'm saying.
Oh, so you're saying like the less worst is like you miss a deadline.
Yeah.
I guess, but if it's possible, I think we should all stop avoiding.
That's true. You know?
I'll edit this podcast tonight. I won't. It's not happening. Maybe I'll move the files onto my computer tonight. Mm. No more avoidance.
Yep, so there's a cat cartoon character. It's the new character,
I
guess.
Yeah, and I don't know if she made this one or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, maybe I think she did.
I think she did. I think she has some creativity now. She's not stuck in the past.
Probably flopped.
And there's someone's writing some equations on the ground again, like how it happened in the beginning and throughout the episode. And it looks like they're being written by the young cop, I think.
Now his hair's all gone white.
But his hair is all white, like he's an old guy. Like he's the old guy from the beginning. And I'm like, is it like the cycle repeats? I don't know.
That is what Hina D. Baka thinks on this random Reddit thread from 2 years ago.
What do they think?
Someone asked, like, what does that last scene mean? Why is he the old man? And by the way, what he's writing, the last word that he's writing before he looks at the camera is anime.
Oh.
He's writing ni, and then he looks at the camera. It implies that Mani was taken over the role of the old man in this cycle. I think it's just Kon's way of saying most people didn't really learn anything and they're going to use a new mascot to deal with everything. Mm. There's going to be another cycle of all this and it'll manifest in a similar way. That's what him working out the equation and becoming the old man is. It could also just be his way of telling you to watch it again. Sometimes some works never give you all the answers. It could just be poking fun at people that like to look into everything too much. But I do like the idea that the old man we were seeing earlier in the series was like a cop who also had to deal with a scary manifestation of someone's avoidance, delusional, self-delusion. Who knows?
I think the show is just about liking anime.
You think that's what it's about?
Yeah, I like anime. You don't like anime?
Some of it's good.
Okay.
Some of it. I like the show.
It was pretty good. I don't really know what happened.
I feel like I would benefit from a second watch. I rarely do rewatches, but every time I've stopped to think about an earlier thing in the series, especially with Tsukiko, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes more sense now, and it doesn't feel like a cheat was done.
Do you guys think
make it more impactful?
Here's my take on the show. I think it would have been better if it were a feature film.
And that's interesting.
Cut out a lot of like the side characters who got murdered.
Maybe
just,
I mean
like,
that was
stuck to like the cops and Tsukiko.
I guess so. I mean, there's definitely some side stuff I don't care about. I do still think the anime episode was really cool. I think the suicide episode was very cool. I like the rumors. I didn't really care about the corrupt cop.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
The like pedophile guy. I barely remember them really. There's even at 13 episodes, they could have trimmed it a little bit, but I still don't think it moved pretty well. I'm not mad. I just don't know if a film would work.
I think the extra episodes were there to show how the rumors were spreading and stuff. I guess you could have cut that down, but it was still fun.
It was a weird. I didn't really get. Do you guys have a grasp on the imposter Shonen Bat Boy? Was it like the Shonen Bat? Like why
the
did
real
he look
kid who supposedly killed himself?
Yeah, like why did he look exactly like Shonen Bat really does look? Isn't that weird? That you know what I mean?
It's weird.
So that's the one thing that made this show really confusing. And I mean, starting and stopping, like with some gaps the way we did, it's a little confusing. But I think it has like a very strong theme running through it, which I like. And I like that the characters, even though at the very end, it seems like they didn't actually learn anything. But at least in the last two episodes, it seems like you kind of see what people could do to stop this from happening, how they could avoid Shonen Bat's wrath. And that they learn something about avoidance and delusion. I liked it.
Yeah, I like it more now that I've thought about it. I still think it could have been shorter. And I think I've seen some criticism of the art.
Really?
It's a little too simple, but I like that it's simple. And I like they made the most of their budget, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Very expressive and varied faces.
Yeah, a lot of people like this also like Lane, which I think kind of makes sense since it's like similarly dealing with like modern phenomena because Maromi, I think there's definitely some satire here about like pop culture being an opiate of the masses, that kind of thing. Yeah, it was crazy too because he was talking about the average age of the people that he was working under and he's like, could I really keep these people coming back when they're in their 30s or their 40s? And he was like, in 20 years, I don't know what my career is going to be like. And unfortunately, he didn't make it 20 years after this show. So he doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to wonder about what kind of a worker he'd be in his 50s and 60s and whatever. Rest in paranoia. There's got to be a better one for him. Anyway, we're out of juice, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yawn.
We're sleepy. Good show. Little confusing. Satoshi Kon is very much an auteur. You know his shit when you see it. And at some point, we'll watch Millennium Actress. But right now, we got to go. Follow us on Twitter. We are at JJBpod. The Discord that listeners started that we're now in is joinable by looking at the podcast description. This very episode. Yes, go look at the description and join. Why not? patreon.com/JJBpod is how you support us. As for what we're watching next week, I don't know yet. It is to be decided. TBD. But until then, remember, folks, you can only delude yourselves for so long until other people start dying. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.